Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the LifeWire podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Tuesday, November 7th. We are going to be giving you guys a tool that we both use in our coaching in today's episode that's going to help you really optimize your fitness results and really just get clear on how you're progressing. I think that that's going to be the biggest takeaway, you know, from this episode is all of us are very bio individual. We all respond differently to different protocols. And so we're going to help you guys get very clear on what may be working for you, what may not be working for you, and really kind of give you guys our secret strategy for helping our clients achieve optimal fitness results. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find on the market are in fact heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. I mean, I'm telling you guys, it is insane. Me and Christina will find new products that just sneak, you know, these processed oils, these processed gums into their products left and right, even the ones that are, you know, quote unquote healthy. And, you know, this is becoming more and more evident to us as we do our grocery shopping, you know, as we even get, like I said, healthier options, healthier foods, they sneak these ingredients in. So always make sure you guys are checking that ingredient label no matter what you buy. And when it comes to, you know, protein-based products, especially like whey proteins or protein bars, all of these, for the most part, honestly, are processed as well. And it's really, really challenging to find a protein source in the form of a bar, you know, or, you know, a powder that is basically comprised of whole foods. And this is why we love the Nash bars, because they are filled with only whole foods. There are no processed ingredients in these Nash bars. And so make sure you guys check out the show notes for a link to the Nash website. These bars are so popular and are flying off the shelf as soon as Chad and Hannah make them every week. And so make sure you guys set your reminders for November 9th. That's when the next release is going to be happening at 6 p.m. And make sure you get ahead of that 6 p.m. window. I would set your alarms, you know, set your reminders for like literally like 5:45, 5:50, and really get right on at 6 p.m. to get yourself a box of bars to try, because they literally go so fast. So on to today's episode. This is episode 109, the secret strategy for optimal fitness results. And so you guys are all probably wondering, you know, what the secret is. And so I'm going to tell you, it is biofeedback. And so this is something that Chris and I use within our check-ins with our clients. You know, when we're touching base with our online clients, we've even both done this with in-person clients. But essentially, the whole reason for utilizing biofeedback as it relates to fitness and nutrition especially is because everyone is individual. You know, we have seen it through coaching many different types of individuals, just how different everyone truly is, and what protocol or what strategy or what, you know, training program or what diet strategy, nutrition strategy worked for one person may not work for the next person. And I'm telling you guys, the more people that I personally work with and I personally coach, the more evident this is becoming. You know, there are some general trends, you know, that coincide between clients, between individuals, but, you know, truly everyone is different. And this is honestly why, like, you know, I've kind of pulled back a little bit from posting like a lot of workouts, for example, online. I've never really done like the, you know, what I eat in a day, for example. I know I probably did one like a long time ago, but to be quite honest, like these posts are kind of irrelevant, because every single person's individual program is going to probably look different when it's customized to them, their goals, their lifestyle, same thing with their nutrition protocols. So it's almost like, yeah, I can show you, you know, what I do, but as it relates to you, it's really not going to matter in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, if that can spark interest or something like that, or motivation, I'm all for it. You know, I'm not like talking down on posting that kind of content. I'm just kind of letting you guys know why, you know, I believe and why I've kind of pulled back on doing those types of posts, because I think that, you know, for each individual person, we have to get clear on, you know, what makes sense for that person and how can we tailor a training program, you know, our nutrition protocols to that individual. And so, you know, really at the end of the day, guys, this biofeedback also really, really helps from a self-awareness standpoint, which we'll get into. But I think it's so important to just self-reflect and make sure we're checking in with ourselves regardless along this journey. Because that biofeedback, basically how our body is responding and sending us signals based off the inputs or the things we're giving it, can be a huge, huge step in the right direction in achieving optimal fitness results. And so I think as we kind of break this thing down, it's important to understand that, you know, we need to recognize the wins too along the way. I feel like a lot of what we do in this world is just very monotonous. You know, we don't think about what we're doing. Like a lot of what we do on a day-to-day basis is extremely mindless. Like, you know, we scroll mindlessly on social media. You know, we'll kind of, you know, brush our teeth. We'll eat our meals. We'll scarf it down. Be on our phone while we're, you know, eating our meals. Like there's just so much that we do on a daily basis that's so just automatic. You know, we don't really take time to ask ourselves why. We don't take time to consider the good, the bad, maybe things we should be different, or maybe things that we should be doing differently. And so along with that, I think it's important to notice the struggles too. Where are the areas of our health, for example? We'll relate it back to this podcast. What are the areas of health where, you know, we may be falling short? Where are some areas of our health where, you know, we feel like there's a missing link? And you guys would be so surprised how this simple self-reflection will help you make drastic improvements really with your health, with your fitness, with your nutrition, and with your life in general. That's why, you know, Chris and I say this all the time, but I am such a firm believer in the power of your fitness journey, because it's the one place where you build a ridiculous amount of self-awareness. Like you literally have to, you're almost forced to, and you learn that valuable lesson of compound interest and compound effect. And I'm telling you guys, if you can learn those two things, especially in the way that most people operate in this world today, it's really going to set you ahead.
And as you said that about compound effect, something I've been saying a lot in client check-ins, which a huge theme of today's podcast is going to be like a bird's eye view into our, or like a sneak peek into our client check-in feedback forms and what questions we're asking and how we check in with ourselves as well. But every single week does matter in terms of that compound interest of your progress from the beginning of November to the end of November, from the beginning of December to the end of December, and also into 2024. Like each week does matter. And I know we can lose sight of that as we're going through the week on autopilot, like Zach was saying. We can just go through the day to day without really stepping back to recognize, like, here's a really cool win that I experienced this week. Here's a struggle. Here's something I'm struggling with. And here's areas I can make improvements. And Zach and I do this, obviously, with us both doing the same thing, which we know is not the norm for a lot of people, but we're able to communicate to each other, like, here's a win I'm really proud of, whether it's a workout win or a business win, something that we are struggling with where we can help support each other and hold each other accountable with. And then also areas we can make an improvement. And we do this for our clients every single week. But every week does matter, and not every week's going to be perfect, but every week teaches you a lot. And I always like to say it's a lesson. It's never a failure. And that can go towards like a weekend that didn't go as planned, or a holiday or a vacation that didn't go as planned. Like use it as a lesson to propel you forward. And the next time you're presented in that situation, you can do 1% better. But if you forget about it and you're like, that's behind me, I'm going to move forward, we didn't learn anything. And it's okay to move forward. I'm not saying that, but you do have to sit back and think like, where did I struggle? What did I do well? How can I improve next time on my vacation, next time I have a holiday, and go from there?
And that's why these check-ins are so pivotal and why they matter so much as it relates to our clients' results, and why our clients' results are so fantastic, because it breaks down that macro picture into the micro picture of, hey, let's just win the next 1 to 2 weeks. Let's not even focus on the whole month. Let's not focus on the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Let's just win the next 2 weeks. How many days, when we look at the next 14 days, how many days did we win? How many days did we lose on, you know, some of the protocols that we really tried and wanted to stick with, but we, you know, just maybe fell short? How can we audit those 14 days and see where we can improve, see where we can make adjustments? And that's really a big reason why we do these check-ins, is to compartmentalize that bigger goal into the micro picture of what can we control? What are the inputs we can put in today, this week, over the next 2 weeks?
And that really helps too to ease the overwhelm when it comes to a goal or when it comes to a busy season. We work with clients on different membership lengths, but most clients do a year and extend beyond that. So I've had clients that worked with me for years at a time. But if we looked ahead at like, hey, your weight loss goal is 100 pounds, for example, it can become overwhelming. But when you break it down into smaller, more tangible goals, it feels much more empowering and much more exciting to like cross that milestone. When you break it down into smaller milestones, or just looking at the entire picture, And same goes for social events. I know this time of year is very busy for a lot of people. When we break it down in these check-ins, like, hey, for the next 2 weeks, what do we have coming up? It's much easier to say like, hey, we have a Thanksgiving or a Friendsgiving. Let's navigate. We'll do an episode probably on like how to navigate the holidays if we haven't already, but using the one plate rule. So I help them prepare for Exactas too, for these specific situations in the next 2 weeks versus saying I have something every single weekend from now until January 1st. Like, why bother trying? Because you can make progress in those weeks, but if you have that mindset and you don't have that game plan week by week, it can be overwhelming.
And that's where a lot of people underestimate like the little smallest changes, because when you guys think about your health and fitness, I really want you to think about this. Like, think about your life right now. Say you're someone that's trying to get into it. Just you simply going from doing nothing to working out one time a week will create some sort of change. You going from maybe eating unhealthy every day of the week to eating unhealthy and or less optimally, less nutritious, only a few times per week. And then you start getting those odds to shift in the other direction. You start, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3 days out of the week, you know, you're eating a little bit healthier, a little bit more nutritious. That is drastically going to start to change, you know, the way that you look, move, and feel on a daily basis. So I feel like a lot of times we just underestimate, you know, how these little tiny changes can really go a long way. And that's something I even encourage a lot of my guys, and a lot of them spoke up within the group about how these small changes, especially with like, you know, eliminating some of these foods that are highly processed and leading into more of a whole food diet, just how how that makes such a big difference on the way that they're feeling on a daily basis. And so this is where I'm telling you guys, you know, if you are someone out there that is struggling to get started, to just begin, I really want you to harness this thought and this idea that even the littlest, smallest changes can go a really long way for you. And then those are going to stack up and it's going to help you build momentum moving forward. So don't underestimate those small inputs and the payoff it can make in the long run.
And just like as you were talking about how people were recognizing how much better they felt, if you don't have that self-awareness, you'll never understand what your baseline is to see how you're improving, to see how much, you know, your energy is improving, to see how much stronger you're feeling in the gym. And that self-awareness is your superpower. And we have an entire episode on that exact topic if you need to learn more about self-awareness. But truly, like, obviously the episode title, The Secret Strategy for Optimal Fitness Results, this is the number one. Like, step number one is you have to have self-awareness. And we see this all the time with one-on-one clients. Obviously, we're going to go through like almost our exact check-in process throughout this episode. But what's so cool is like the longer we work with people, we can see them start to solve their own problems. When they're self-aware and saying like, hey, this is an area I struggled in this past week where I didn't have my groceries delivered. So Monday, I was forced to eat out for a couple meals. Next week, I can improve by Instacarting, having groceries delivered, or actually going to the grocery store and taking 30 minutes to 60 minutes out of my Sunday. So we see them solving their own problems and answering their own struggles because they become more self-aware with every single week. With that reflection that we have with every single check-in, they become more aware, they become more willing to change and improve. But that's the start of everything. That's the start of any transformation, is being self-aware of the areas you need to improve, what habits aren't serving you, where you need to change, to make sure you're aligning your actions with your goals. And then everything else from there takes care of itself. And a huge piece of your fitness journey is mindset. And we talk about that in every single check-in, pretty much every single podcast. And if you need to strengthen your self-awareness, like doing personal development daily and journaling and just like reflecting on your weeks instead of going on autopilot and like staying stuck in your comfort zone and that lack mindset, it doesn't serve you. And if you are looking for a transformation of any kind, mentally, physically, any area of life, like, it does start with that self-awareness. And it also comes from like having a weekly check-in with yourself or bi-weekly check-in. Personally, I like to do this weekly with myself. And there's a couple different ways you can track these metrics. And our coaching and this fitness journey is so much more than macros and workouts, which you guys probably know from listening to our podcast for 109 episodes by this point. But there's so many ways you can track your progress, but it's really important to have a couple different methods just because you're not always going to see progress in one area. Like, I have clients in Zach does too, do progress pictures, take average weight over just one solid weight, do measurements, track your PRs in the gym, because there are certain times where your body will show change in your photos, but not on the scale. If you're experiencing body recomposition where your body's going to experience changes in measurements, but maybe not in your photos, which it doesn't really make sense, but I've seen it happen before where we lose sight of those specific areas that we are doing really well or are seeing change because we're so stuck on one metric, which is typically the scale. So one thing I do want to point out is like, as you are tracking your progress and monitoring your biofeedback, a huge piece of it is obviously weight. That's what a lot of people are tracking when they're looking for whether that's muscle growth or fat loss. And I highly recommend taking average weight so you can track the trends. With all of these metrics of photos, weights, and measurements, you want to track the trends because your weight's going to fluctuate. That's just the truth. There's so many different things that cause scale fluctuations. And if you just look at it Monday morning, which I know my Monday morning clients are probably like, okay, yeah, this makes sense, because there's so many factors over the weekend specifically that are going to cause fluctuations. Lack of sleep, you're out of routine. If you're eating out, there's higher sodium levels. There are so many different things that cause a little bit of a fluctuation, which is just purely water weight and inflammation at the beginning of the week. And you could lose sight of some awesome wins if you don't track an average weight throughout the rest of the week. Not that you need to weigh in every single day. I think like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday is perfectly fine. I do not weigh in on the weekends. And I highly recommend for women out there, don't weigh in a couple days before your cycle and until your cycle ends, because those are not accurate weigh-ins and it will just mess with your head. But a couple other metrics you can track, like how to actually check in with yourself. This is step number two after self-awareness, is weighing in using, we have a scale that tracks body fat. It's not always the most accurate. I take photos right now. I'm doing a 75 soft, so I take them every day, but we have our clients take photos weekly or biweekly, depending on the client. I recommend doing measurements monthly. Those don't change like that dramatically week by week, but also using the biofeedback and data from an activity tracker. We love the Oura Ring. We both have it, and we've done a whole episode on like different activity trackers and what we recommend. But a lot of my clients have Fitbits, Apple Watches, and if you guys listening do track your sleep, like that's a great way to check in with yourself and say, my sleep has been pretty shitty this week. Have I been going to bed at the same time? Have I been eating close to bed? I love that the Oura Ring tells you, like, it kind of hints to things. Like if you have poor recovery or readiness, it will ask, like, did you eat too close to bed? Did you train too hard yesterday? Not get enough sleep? Like, it kind of gives you ways to improve, which is nice if you have a hard time checking in with yourself and understanding what's causing that situation, whether it's a low readiness or HRV that's a little bit out of whack. It's helpful to know what habits you can change, but if you don't check in with yourself and monitor that biofeedback, you won't know where to begin. And another thing, Zach was talking about, like how you go through the week and sometimes you lose sight of those wins. I think a helpful tool that I tell a lot of people to track their wins in like a notepad on their phone or notice changes. If you see that you have more energy on a specific day, or you see that you had a win at work, that you are more confident, you didn't have to reach for that afternoon coffee, or your digestion's finally regular, your bloat has gone down, like just creating a long list of just like wins or struggles in your phone. That way, when you do come to check-in day with yourself or with your coach, if you have one, you're not running a blank of like, oh, what were my wins this week? What areas did I struggle in? It sometimes helps to just like log it in the moment, like kind of like a brain dump, like a biofeedback brain dump in your notepad on your phone, so that you don't forget those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is one of the most underrated ways to track progress. You know, if you're someone out there that is like, hey, how do I know I'm in a calorie deficit? You know, you can use a lot of these total daily energy expenditure online calculators to kind of figure out a rough range of, you know, where are my maintenance calories at? What are my, you know, calorie deficit calorie needs at, you know, relative to my biometrics, like my height, my weight, my sex, my age, my activity levels, and just start hitting that number consistently and then tracking the body weight. Is the body weight maintaining? Is it going down? Is it increasing? That's going to be a good biofeedback indicator of, okay, are we either progressing in a calorie deficit? Are we maintaining? Are we potentially in a surplus? That's an easy way that you guys can get a general idea of how your efforts are trending over time. And I think, you know, the self-awareness component, just before we move on, I think it's just so, so very underrated, especially, you know, in the realm of health and fitness. Like sometimes we can kind of be like screwing ourselves and our progress without even realizing it. I cannot tell you guys the amount of times that I have done this throughout my own fitness journey where, you know, I think I'm doing something right, or I think I have it figured out. And then I realize like, damn, I was missing out on this thing all along, or hey, I was, you know, doing this thing wrong all along. And it's like that self-awareness is so valuable. And I think that that's a huge, hugely underrated part of the check-in process that we do with our clients, where, you know, that is our opportunity to touch base on these protocols, to make potential protocol changes. But at the end of the day, it really, really starts to bring out the self-awareness in our clients. And like Chris said, it's so cool to start to see these clients answering their own questions, like almost like talking to themselves, like in their check-in. I can literally like think of multiple clients who do this on a weekly basis. And I think it's just such a great opportunity for people to press pause in their life and to self-reflect. Because a lot of times we don't ever get that opportunity. And like we're kind of telling you guys, even if you're not a client of ours, you can do this yourself and you can really develop, you know, self-awareness through your fitness journey, understanding and getting an idea of what's working for you and what's not working for you. And so, you know, number three, you know, this is essentially where we want to break down the biofeedback metrics that we monitor with our clients. And so like Christina had mentioned earlier, sleep is one that we really will monitor specifically with our clients. And it's not just the quantity that matters. I know a lot of us are, you know, shooting for that quantity, but quality really does play a huge role. This was something that kind of opened my perspective when I started using the Whoop several years ago. We now use the Oura Rings like Christina talked about, which I believe is definitely the gold standard of fitness trackers. But, you know, with the Whoop and the Oura Ring, they will give us a breakdown of our sleep patterns literally throughout the night, like how many disturbances we had, how long was our REM sleep, how long were we in light sleep, how long were we in deep sleep. And in all of those stages, we're basically getting different recovery from those different stages of sleep. And that's where, you know, it's so important to make sure we are getting, you know, not only quantity of sleep, but also a high quality of sleep as well. And, you know, it's crazy. We've even noticed a difference in going from like that 6 to 7 hour window to 8 hours, and just how much better we feel the next day from an energy standpoint, how much better we handle stress. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we will see with clients and even in ourselves, where, you know, if the quality, the quantity takes a hit, we don't handle stress as well. We don't handle adversity as well. We're more irritable. We have less energy. We have less ability to perform in our workouts. We have less mental performance in our job. And so this is a really crucial form of biofeedback where, you know, if we are feeling like we're hitting a plateau in our health and fitness, we're feeling a lack of performance, you know, we're feeling just those low energy levels, we're feeling just a lack of progress in general, we can take a look at that sleep and say, hey, could we potentially increase the quantity? Could we potentially focus on maybe getting better quality throughout the night? That's why we personally, like, we love CBD. We've really tracked this specifically, and I've even recommended CBD to my clients as well. It has made a massive difference in the amount of disturbances that I get in the middle of the night. And so I will literally track it, like on the Oura, for example. I've seen it on the Whoop, but now that we take that CBD, we have way less disturbances throughout that night, which is going to give us more quality sleep on a nightly basis. And so definitely, if you're anyone out there, you know, struggling with that, and you feel like you are waking up a lot throughout the night, you're struggling to go back to sleep, I highly recommend checking out CBD. It can be a difference maker in helping not only, you know, the quality of sleep, but also with the quantity of sleep.
Yeah, and something else that's helped me too is taking magnesium. I noticed I have a deeper sleep from taking that. I know a lot of women out there take magnesium, but when it comes to sleep and progress, what I typically see with a lot of people is our check-in questions kind of go in this order that we're talking about. And when I see less than 7 hours of sleep, I can already assume that these metrics are going to be off as I go through the rest of the check-in. I know that energy levels are obviously going to be down. Hunger levels are going to be up. Stress is going to be up. Obviously, those higher stress levels do impact your sleep, but your sleep quantity also impacts the way you respond to stress. So I typically see from a progress perspective, I actually did a study on this where I did like a paper in college on people who had less than 7 hours of sleep. Think about a set of twins. I typically say this in client check-ins. So think about you. There's two versions of you, one that gets 6 hours or less of sleep, one that gets 7 hours plus of sleep. Same macros, same training, same step goal, same water consistency. The version of you that gets 7 hours plus is going to see more progress. The more recovery we have, better we're able to handle all of these other habits that we're going to talk about in biofeedback we go over throughout the rest of this like check-in process. But it's just a cool thing I like to just point out, that just by getting more sleep, you can see more progress. So it's one area that, you know, it's a low-hanging fruit. It's easy to improve, but I know it takes a lot of effort to go to bed at a certain time, to have those boundaries with yourself, with your phone, and get enough quality sleep and quantity. But number two kind of goes hand in hand with that, which is energy levels. I like to say on a scale of 1 to 5, what are energy levels? Typical things that I see cause a 5 to drop to a 4 or a 3 are things like obviously getting less sleep, higher stress levels, as well as what time of the month it is for most women. I typically see those notches tick down for each one of those like drains, I guess you could say. But there's a lot of things that do impact your energy levels that you may lose sight of unless you're actively tracking your energy. Obviously, your average sleep, quality and quantity impacts your energy levels. Your food choices also impact your energy levels. If you're eating more soul food, I always see energy levels take a tick down from like a 5 to a 4 or a 4 to a 3. If your goal food soul food ratio, meaning whole food and processed food, is out of alignment with that 80-20. Obviously, if it goes to 70-30, 60-40, 50-50 goal food soul food, the energy levels just continue to drop down. And I always say, like, you got to treat your body like a luxury car. It's not going to have optimal fuel efficiency if you're putting regular gas in a Mercedes-Benz or a Porsche. I'm not a huge car girl, but I know that you can't put regular gas in a luxury car. You have to fuel it with premium gas to get it from A to Z with optimal fuel efficiency. Think about like your food is literally your fuel. If you don't have enough energy, think about what your food choices look like. And we'll talk about that as we go through too. But your obviously sleep, your stress levels, and your food choices impact those energy levels as well as your hormones too. Adrenals are something that I had no idea that were impacting my energy level so much. I could be doing everything right, eating 100% whole foods, getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and I was still starting the day with like zero cortisol to get me out of bed. So if you are controlling all the controllables, which you wouldn't know unless you're tracking this biofeedback, that's when it's helpful to look further and start testing with hormone testing instead of guessing.
Absolutely. And next on top of that is hunger levels. And this is also something we will rate between 1 and 5. And we kind of use this measure for a multitude of reasons. Obviously, first and foremost, as we are making calorie changes, nutrition protocol changes, this is something that is crucial that we get from our clients, especially like a great example is when, you know, a client comes into our program, you know, chronically under eating, and we're slowly trying to just get them up to like, for example, like their BMR, like their basal metabolic rate, or even like their maintenance calories, basically going through a reverse diet. This is where, you know, we'll start at a very realistic calorie goal relative to what they were already eating prior to joining the program to make a very realistic segue into the protocols that we ultimately want them to work toward. And so we'll have them track those calories that they were already consuming prior to the program. And then we'll get that hunger feedback where, you know, were hunger levels super high? Were they super low? Typically, you know, as we get them into like their training program and they start getting more active at those lower amounts of calories, those hunger levels start to rise, indicating, okay, you know, we have room, we have the ability to increase those calories now, you know, moving forward. And then we kind of follow that process as we slowly build them and progress them, you know, up to their BMR, for example, or up toward maintenance. So that's just like a simple example of how, you know, your biofeedback through your hunger levels can tell you, okay, maybe I need a calorie increase. Maybe I, you know, maybe I need to decrease calories. Maybe I'm like super like overly uncomfortably full. Maybe I need to decrease a little bit. So those hunger levels are crucial in relation to how we make those caloric changes, even how we distribute, you know, for example, like a fiber target or even like a protein goal, carb goal, fat goal, you know, how we break down those macronutrients. And once again, that's very individualized where some clients, you know, we're just doing calories. Some clients were doing calories and protein. Some clients were doing full macros with calories. So again, very individualized. And then to kind of break this down into more of a micro picture, you know, when we're thinking about hunger cues in general, you know, really understanding like when we are truly full and when we are truly hungry is highly underrated as it relates to making progress in your health and fitness, especially in regard to nutrition. Because if you're someone who's, say, trying to lose weight, you know, or you have a fat loss goal, you know, those hunger cues and those fullness cues can really help guide you in that direction. You know, typically if we're, like we talked about on, you know, one of our other episodes about the blue zones, like if you're eating to about 80% full, 90% full, it's going to be far easier to control your total caloric intake versus just like mindless consumption of, you know, less nutritious foods where, you know, you're not going to be filled up. You're going to accumulate a ton of calories in excess without even realizing it. And so that's why, you know, we're a big fan of teaching our clients, like as you are navigating your meals throughout the day, become very aware of when your body is telling you, you know, you're hungry versus when you're full. And I think that a huge, huge strategy that can help you guys with this is really slowing down within your meals. This is something that, you know, I've been really diving into with my precision nutrition certification, but it's crazy how I gave the example even in the intro of the podcast where like we're eating our meals, we're scrolling on our phone, and we're just like scarfing food down. Like I know I'm bad at that, and I like really intentionally have to tell myself to just slow down, put the phone down, and be very present with those meals, because that can help with like your digestion. It can help with your hunger and fullness cues to be very just like take your time, just go slow with those meals. Be aware of, okay, am I actually full, you know, or am I actually hungry before I go to eat a meal? Like these are really helpful cues to help avoid, you know, overconsumption, for example, and even underconsumption. And I feel like hydrating too consistently throughout the day is a really helpful tool to give you those, the realistic representation of where your hunger levels really are at. Cause sometimes, you know, we could be dehydrated and it's feeling like we're hungry, but we really just need some water. That's where like I really always try to make sure I'm hydrating like before meals, after meals. So I always have a good realistic representation of what my hunger levels are truly at.
And the next one that kind of goes hand in hand with that is your overall digestion. Is it a biofeedback metric to pay attention to? And it's something that I think we often just like disregard. Like if you're constantly bloated, if you're constantly having digestive issues, like, and what I mean by that is, like, is your digestion regular? How many times a day do you go to the bathroom? And a lot of things that impact this is your fiber intake and your food choices. So once again, this is something I see take a hit when we have more soul food than goal food, when we're not hitting our water goal consistently, when we're not eating enough fiber. I find it very rare that people come into a coaching program, for example, myself included, like, for a long time, I was slacking on fiber and I thought I had so much more digestive issues than just food intolerances. And it turned out I just wasn't eating enough fiber. And the daily recommendation, I said this a million times on the podcast, for women, the average recommendation is 25 to 35, for men, 35 to 45. And everyone has their own specific sweet spot. But if you're drastically under that average, you're going to notice that your hunger levels are a lot higher and that your digestion is either a lot slower or a lot quicker than it really needs to be. And your stress can also impact your digestion. This is something that I've experienced in the past too. And as Zach was going through the things that impact your hunger levels, like your fiber intake, your goal foods, your protein, your stress, your fiber, your water, that all goes hand in hand with impacting your digestion. So if you really do struggle with digestion, like, start paying attention to it on a weekly basis. Start paying attention to those things I pointed out, like, what red flags for digestion stuck out to you? Are you eating more soul food than goal food? Are you not eating nearly enough fiber? Are you missing your water goal daily? Because if you're eating a ton of fiber and not drinking enough water, there's going to be an imbalance of how your body's able to work that out of your system. So it's all important to pay attention to, because a lot of your progress can be masked by digestive issues, whether that's intolerances, whether that's inflammation in your gut or dysfunction of any kind. It's important to pay attention to, because your gut is honestly a huge hub of any transformation you're trying to go through.
Yeah. And we'll see this a lot with clients, even with the food intolerances, where, you know, Christina originally found the Everly Well test, which is a really helpful blood test to help you determine what food intolerances you do have. And a lot of times we don't even know what those are until we get tested like that. You know, we could be eating foods, kind of like I said earlier, we may not even know the damage we're causing, you know, to our health, to our progress, until we really get clear and take the guesswork out of it. So that can be super helpful as well. And next is nutrition adherence. And we kind of break this down between, you know, what was your goal food, soul food ratio? And then also, you know, how adherent were we, you know, to, for example, the calorie consumption or the protein consumption? I would say a lot of us that are tracking our food do it inaccurately, plain and simple. You know, it's really easy to do. Especially if you are, you know, cooking different proteins, or say you're even eating out and you're trying to find, you know, something inside the database that's very similar to what you're eating out. Obviously, something is better than nothing always. You know, we will always rather take the data versus not and have a day that's like completely untracked. But it can be super helpful to be to just making sure that what you're tracking is actually what you're consuming. Because I think a lot of times we will, you know, underestimate how much we are actually eating. I know I've fallen victim to that as well. That's a mistake I've made. So just tracking properly in general is so crucial, because the tracking only works if it's accurate. So that's just another little tidbit that I know will help you guys if you are someone that is tracking and maybe you're struggling to see progress. Just check in on, you know, is what I'm putting into, you know, my MyFitnessPal or my food tracking app, is it accurate? Is it what I'm actually eating? Am I leaving calories on the table? Are there, you know, snacks at night? You know, am I going to the almond butter? Am I going to the protein bar drawer and having some of those snacks late night without accounting for it? You know, those calories do add up. And then when we're talking about the goal food versus soul food, you know, this is really where we're talking about like nutritious food versus less nutritious food. And so we kind of break this down as like, you know, goal food is more so lean proteins, fruits, vegetables, starchy carbohydrates, you know, nothing very processed. And then soul food is more so, you know, your sugary snacks or desserts, for example, or drinks, sugary drinks, alcohol, anything that's highly processed is going to fall more under that umbrella of soul food. And this is so crucial because we don't ever expect our clients to be perfect. We don't even expect to be perfect, but we do want the odds to work in our favor. We want, you know, 80 to 90% of the time us to fill, like we really want to strive for 80 to 90% of the time we're filling our diet, or filling our calories, our proteins, our carbs, our fats with those goal foods, with those minimally processed and hopefully like fully unprocessed foods. And then, you know, leaving that, you know, 10 to 20% variation and flexibility in general and balance for, you know, the soul food, for example. So this is really crucial to check in on, because I think that's another area that we will underestimate, where, you know, we think we had an 80 to 90% week, but we really didn't. You know, we really had a couple different like happy hours, or maybe we went out to eat more than we thought we did, and ate more of those processed foods. So it's just important to check in on this and understand once again and have self-awareness around, what am I consuming? What is the quality of the nutrients I'm consuming? Because as we said earlier, like it is crazy, guys. We are seeing it more and more and more. Like even these like quote unquote healthy or minimally processed foods, having gums in them, having processed fillers, having, you know, these processed oils, these inflammatory oils. And it's just eye opening. Like we literally found it in our quinoa. Like it was like a quinoa we were eating and a brown rice we were eating, literally with sunflower oil. It's just crazy how, you know, they will put this stuff in pretty much anything packaged. So like, you know, really, really trying to strive for like, you know, primarily clean foods like your fruits, your vegetables, your lean meats, basically anything that's not packaged. But if you are going to get something packaged, really look at those ingredients. Remember, the front of the label will try to market to you, manipulate you, but those ingredients on the back will not lie. So just always make sure you guys are checking in on yourselves with, you know, how much soul food am I eating, you know, in a given week versus goal food, and how can I maybe critique that to align a little bit better with my long-term goals?
Yeah, and I think this is something that's very empowering to understand your average calorie, you know, consumption and consistency, and going off of like that verbiage of like the 80-20 split is something that I challenge my clients to look at. And even with myself, is if you had to give yourself a grade this week, if you think about in school, in order to pass to the next level, you have to get at least a C. And in order to see if your protocols are even working for you, you have to be at least 70% consistent, which is 5 days out of seven. If your goal is extremely important and we have a deadline and you're like, I will do whatever it takes, like I recommend 80% plus consistency and adherence. Because a lot of times, like old me, honestly, was guilty of this, where I had a week where I wasn't consistent. I probably hit my nutrition goal like 4 days. And the weekend I went over, Monday morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, the scale is up. I have to cut my calories. So I'm cutting calories unnecessarily because I wasn't even hitting the protocols I had previously for long enough. And that's something that's a vicious cycle. And it can be extremely frustrating if you don't know where the lack of progress is coming from. But honestly, tracking your calories and being accurate, it's just like tracking your spending. You have to know where the money and calories are going out and coming in order to say like, hey, I'm on track, I'm on budget. That's a very empowering feeling to know like I'm controlling the controllables. And like I said, Zach said, it's never gonna be perfect, but if you are at least 70, 80% consistent, at least we're able to see from a coaching perspective, like, are we adherent enough to make these protocols work for you, or do we have to make changes? Otherwise, we can't make any changes. All we have to do is repeat the same protocols for another week and put in those reps of consistency to see the changes you're looking for. And on the note of putting in the reps, the next one is training frequency for biofeedback. So we obviously have a goal and target of like how many days per week you're going to be training, how much NEAT you're going to be getting in, meaning your steps and activity outside of the gym, and also tracking that progressive overload. So obviously tracking your progressive overload comes from having a structured training program for at least 4 weeks. And that's what we do for our clients, and looking at like, what was the RPE we were supposed to be aiming for this week? Did you beat yourself from the week before? Did you hit your targeted workouts, and did you hit your step goal consistently? And when you are training on your own, that may seem overwhelming, but like, just start small. Like if I say I'm going to train 4 days per week, did I train 4 days? If not, what held me back? Did I snooze my alarm? Did I say I was going to work out after work when really I went to happy hour instead? Like, you have to be very strategic and find those pockets of time where you're able to hit your workouts. But if you're not even reflecting on how many days per week you worked out, how can you make those changes? And same goes for your steps. If you're constantly missing your step goal, your calories in versus calories out is going to be drastically off. And once again, it can be frustrating to say, why is the scale staying the same? Why is it trending up instead of down? When in reality, like, steps are a low hanging fruit that if you are consistent enough, it can work in your favor. But if you are not consistent and you're not self-aware enough to look at like, how many days per week did I hit my step goal? Then you're not able to say, I can take a walk at lunch this week. I can take the stairs instead of the elevator. And as you can see, like, this constant self-awareness is creating the solution to that problem of like racking your brain of why we're not seeing progress.
Yeah. And I love that these two topics were kind of next to each other in the podcast and how this flowed, because I feel like a lot of times we really do underestimate how much food we are consuming and just how much our, like, where our caloric consumption really is at. And I feel like we drastically overestimate how active we really are and how much we are moving our bodies throughout the day, throughout the week. And so these are two crucial measures in order to have a realistic idea of how we're progressing and if we are progressing toward those results. And so next is stress levels. And this one's really one that we hone in on, because as you know, we're navigating different seasons of life. You know, certain clients might be going through a season of life that's really, really stressful. You know, maybe we have to pull back on certain protocols. Maybe we have to go to less, you know, training sessions per week, because inevitably, you know, that training, that physical activity, it is going to add stress to our body. You know, it's good stress, But nonetheless, it is adding stress to our bodies and to just our mental health, our physical health. And so we always do want to check in on, you know, where are our stress levels at? You know, are we peak, like reaching burnout, or are we, you know, feeling great? You know, those are kind of where we can gauge optimization or maybe maintaining. Like, we might be going through a season of life that's highly stressed. Okay, well, let's maybe pull back and at least do the minimum to maintain and sustain progress. And then during those seasons of life where stress is way down, maybe that's where we can push the foot on the gas and really start to optimize. So it's crucial that we always are assessing, you know, kind of where those stress levels are at on a with our clients and even in ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that rating it on a scale of 1 to 5 helps you understand like where those like drains are outweighing the charges in your week. And what I mean by that is, if you think about like how many drains you have in your week or stressors, let's say you have a deadline for work, you have financial stressors, and you have relationship problems. Those are 3 huge drains in your week. And if you rate it on a scale of 1 to 5, I would say you're at a 3 out of 5. But if you let that go on for too long without addressing those stress levels, it can quickly shift up to a 5 out of 5, which is burnout. And we never want to be in that burnt out state, because your cortisol is going to halt any and all fat loss, weight loss progress. It causes a huge like cascade of events that work against the goals we're typically working towards in the health and fitness realm, especially for your mental health. So if you do have those 3 big drains in your week, think about how can I weave in 3 charges that are going to help bring my stress levels down. Charges are things that help fill you up. Like, think about the things that you do that make you feel lighter. For me, it's like walking outside, therapy, journaling, reading a fiction book, doing self-care. So if I pick 3 of those and weave it into a really stressful week, obviously it's not always going to be perfect, but you're at least charging your battery enough for the drains you're experiencing throughout the week, which can dramatically decrease your stress levels, which can improve all of your progress you're trying to achieve. And on the note of stress levels, typically when I see high stress levels, I see a lower rating of mental health. And mental health is the next biometric we want to take care of, because like we said, we're not just about workouts and macros. We're here to focus on stress levels. We're here to focus on mental health, because if you're really struggling mentally, that's the hub of everything. Your mindset, your energy, your sleep, your food intake, it's all predicated on how you're doing in these 2 areas of like stress levels and mental health. And if you take time to like reflect on your mental health and think like of the areas you're struggling specifically, how can you work through those areas? And it sometimes helps to ask for help, like whether that's the people in your life. Obviously, Zach and I are there to support our clients in this area too, but I obviously recommend therapy. Like, Zach and I both are big advocates for going to therapy, because it helps you work through these areas. And when I see clients invest in therapy or just like go to see somebody or do something about their mental health, I see their mental health just like skyrocket in their check-ins. I see their stress levels plummet, which is what we want to see. But it's something that like you have to be self-aware about, reflect on in order to see the changes that we need to.
And next is celebrating wins. And this is something we always encourage our clients to do in check-ins, because no matter, you know, how shitty, you know, a week is going, or a couple of weeks, or whatever is going on in life in general, I feel like we can always pinpoint at least one thing, you know, going well, whether that's personal, professional, related to fitness or not. You know, we can always pinpoint at least something to celebrate, something to be proud of, something to, you know, bring us some gratitude, even amidst, you know, maybe some negativity or maybe some stalls in progress or, you know, maybe some frustrations. You know, we can always pinpoint, you know, something to celebrate, something to be proud of, you know, along this journey, because, you know, sometimes it can get tough. Sometimes it can get daunting. And it's so crucial and important to just check in on, you know, what is actually going well. That's why, as you guys know, we're big fans of gratitude, and it can be a really powerful tool to help keep you in the game.
Yeah. And these wins can be something as small as like getting enough sleep, showing up for yourself on a day you didn't want to, or even checking in on a week where you felt like, hey, this week kind of sucked, but I'm still here checking in. I'm still being self-aware. I see that all the time, that like this week's win is just checking in. And that's okay if it was a week like that. But this is where that digital brain dump or biofeedback brain dump on your phone can showcase those wins, where you maybe had 1 serving of pumpkin pie instead of 2, or you had 1 cocktail instead of 2. It just like shows those small 1% better changes. And that's what keeps you going on your fitness journeys, when you're constantly celebrating those small, meaningful wins. And the last one is focusing on the week ahead and areas you can improve. So like, what's your number 1 intention for the week ahead? After reflecting on all of those areas, your sleep, your digestion, your nutrition, your training, like what's the main area that you can focus on to push the needle forward on, whether it's your November goals or your yearly goals? Because once again, every week does matter. And how can we improve from the person you were last week to the person you need to be next week to accomplish those goals? And what actions, behaviors do you need to change in order to follow through on aligning your actions with your goals? And that is the end of the main biofeedback, but I wanted to include a little bonus, which is like looking forward at the week ahead. And like, as you collected that biofeedback, you need to be proactive instead of reactive. If throughout that entire like check-in with yourself, you found areas of like we weren't prepared with groceries, we didn't schedule in our workouts, or we didn't get enough sleep, like look ahead and this is going to allow you to set your intention or be proactive and actually win the week. Think about like, do I need to bulk prep on Sundays? Do I need to schedule in my workouts on my work calendar and treat them as appointments? Do I need to order my groceries ahead of time? Set boundaries with my phone in order to get to sleep on time? What charges can I weave in to manage my stress levels and drains? And all that kind of comes together and shows you like how you need to improve for the week ahead. And this entire list of biofeedback, like I said, is just a bird's eye view into our check-in processes. And obviously, if you've listened back to this episode, it's kind of like you went through a coaching check-in with Zach and I, which I think is an extremely powerful tool. If you're on this fitness journey on your own, like use yourself, like have extra accountability with even your significant other, just even expressing my wins out loud to Zach or my struggles or my goal, like even to run a 10K. I know I talked about that a lot in the last episode, but if I hadn't expressed that goal out loud, like the likelihood of me accomplishing it are very small or very minimal, because that accountability is everything. And when you have accountability with yourself, you have discipline, you have self-awareness, that's where the transformation happens. Whether you're trying to lose weight, build muscle mass, build strength in the gym, it all comes down to these three areas: having self-awareness, checking in with yourself or somebody else, and then monitoring those biofeedback metrics that we talked about. And we hope you guys can utilize this episode to make the most out of these last 2 months of 2023. I cannot believe the end of the year is approaching. And I know this is where a lot of people kind of pull back on the gas for their goals and say like, hey, it's the holidays. There's a lot going on. It's a busy season. Why bother? And then the first of the year is when everyone starts to like push down on the gas and start working towards their goals again. But think about how much you can accomplish in this month and next month and enter the year on a strong note and create momentum that's in a positive direction versus slowing down the momentum and coming from ground zero all the way back up as you start to feel that like new year, new me vibe. So we hope you guys took a lot from today's episode. We appreciate you so much for listening, sharing the episodes, giving us the feedback, and tagging us in, you know, tagging Life Rewired in your stories as you share the episodes. It means the absolute world to us. And we included all the links down below for Nash Bars, coaching applications, our newsletters, which is even more free value, and obviously our Instagrams. If you're finding us through the podcast, reach out, say hello, and we will see you guys next week.
Peace out, guys.